right, so I love this because when you read it, it takes something like 1 Peter and breaks it down and makes it pretty simple because you hear, you know, royal priesthood, spiritual offerings, and it sounds like this lofty thing. And for those of us who have been churched, it sounds pretty cool. But people come in from the outside like, what in the world does that mean? All right? But Paul breaks it down. He goes, listen, take your everyday, ordinary life. Place it before God. Your sleeping, eating, going to work life, the things you do, everything you do, bring it before God and let that be an offering. Let it be an act of worship. If your heart is right and your heart and mind are centered on Christ, anything you do, anywhere you do it, can be an act of worship to God. All right? Think about that for a moment. Because when you do things that we consider mundane in life, we just think, oh, I'm just living my life. But as if you're a follower of Jesus and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, that means God's present with you. You might not always feel that. You might not always feel like shouting. You might not always, but the Spirit of God is with you. He is sovereign, but he is also omnipresent, okay? And he lives inside of us. So if the Spirit of God is in me and he's with me, that means where I go, he goes. Right? And so when I'm dealing with stuff, whether it's something with my children, when they disobey, and my tendency is to get into the flesh, or in the workplace, when that one person just continues to agitate you, right? How you react and how you respond can be an act of worship to God. Right? Because here's the deal, right? Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. All right. When my will intersects with his will, I have an opportunity at that point to take up my cross and follow him. Okay? My frustration with my kids, the flesh rises up, and there's a way that I want to respond, and then there's a way that God says you should respond, right? When you're in the workplace and that person who agitates you or your boss, whoever it might be, there's a way that you might want to respond, but then there's a way that God tells you should respond. In that moment, when you recognize that, and the Spirit's at work inside of you, and Paul goes, man, the things I don't want to do, sometimes I do, and the things that I you know, he's having this wrestle. In Romans 7, you read that. Okay, that when that's happening, the Spirit's at work. When you make the choice to follow God in that moment, you die to the flesh and you follow the Spirit. Listen, that's an act of worship. Take your everyday life, your eating, drinking, sleeping, going to work, everyday life, give it to God as an offering. And that's what it means to be the people of God, the church, okay, being built up into this spiritual house that he talks about in Peter, and then as Paul breaks it down in Romans. So if we want to be like the early church, and we want to see the things that we've read about in the past in Acts chapter 2. We want to see those things happen today. It will happen as the church gathers in a place like this to be encouraged, strengthened, but then as we go out and live those things out there. Because if it ends here, then we're not doing what God's called us to do, and we're not being salt and light out there. And that's what the church is called to be. All right? So we're gonna talk a little bit about the beauty of the church and how it's a powerful force for blessing and goodness in this world, because the church is sitting in these seats. And the church goes home to that subdivision, and the church goes to that workplace, and the church goes to that school, and the church goes out. And we, as the church, living stones being built into this spiritual house, bring the presence of God with us wherever we go. Our problem is we just forget. Right? We're short-sighted. I forget because I'm getting old, but I mean, we forget at times, like, hey, this is real. You don't go to church. You are the church. And God goes with you. Now, imagine the difference when you start to think this way and you really believe it. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. We revisit this passage. We've done it for the last 3-4 weeks. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All right, so we look at that. It's really easy to say, okay, that's the early church. That's right after Jesus died, resurrected, ascended. This is what was happening. And we go, man, we want to reproduce that. And so that's led to some weird things like Christian communes and stuff like that. All right? And so, you know, you look at it and go, man, that's what they were doing. We need to do that. And I don't know that Luke records that for us as a template of something we need to reproduce as much as he is just telling us, this is what happened. Okay, after Jesus said, go and make disciples, after Peter preached that message in Acts chapter 2 and 3,000 people responded, this is what it looked like. And the reason it looked like that is because those people had Jesus change everything in their life, and so what happened was they started living for Jesus. Their everyday eating and drinking and going to work life became an offering to God. And so as a result, this happened. So it's not so much, hey, we need to take this and this is a template of what we got to do. It's like, live your life for Jesus, and then these things start happening. Because it's not just meeting here. Next thing you know, you're living for Jesus out there, and you're sharing that love with people around you. You're sharing it with people in your neighborhood. That means you start to gather there with other believers, and things like this start to happen. You care about people, and so you show love to them, and you might sacrifice something you have to be a blessing to someone else because Jesus is at the center of your life, and that's an offering to him. Worship is not confined to a single place. And it wasn't here. They met in the temple courts. There was a large group meeting, but they met in the homes. And it was happening all around as their lives were lived to the glory of God. One of the mistakes that we make in the church today is we seem more focused on extracting people from everyday life and getting them into the church than we do encouraging them, strengthening them, and then sending them out with the Spirit and the power of the Spirit to do what God's called us to do in the world. And so we extract people out and we say, this, you got to come to church, and everything pretty much happens inside a building like this, or centered around a building like this. And as long as you get involved here, and as long as you're going to a few classes and you're doing those things, then you feel good about where you are in your relationship with God. All the while, there's people on the outside who are saying, you know what, I don't really care for what's going on in there. I don't really have a desire to go to church. Kind of been there, done that. Maybe they grew up going to church. And so they have this idea that church is what happens in here. It's a place where people come. It's where they get fed. It's a lot of the things that we've talked about in the last few weeks. And so people observe people doing church, and they simply don't have an appetite for it. They can't relate to it. They say, that's for those people, that's not for me. And then you have a pastor like me who gets up and says, hey, now you guys, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you need to invite some people to church. And those people who you would normally invite to church, some of them at least, or many of them, are going, thanks but no thanks, been there, done that, no desire for that. But man, you got to invite them. We're going to have this Super Bowl party. Everybody's going to come. And hey, it's great. Invite them. You know, we'll hang out. We'll party. That, you know, that's great. That's not the goal. And it's become the goal for a lot of people. And we as the church need to get to a point where we realize when people say, you know what, I don't really like church. We got to get to the point where we realize, you know what, that's okay. That's okay. My goal and your goal should not be to get someone to church. Our goal needs to be to get them to Jesus. Right? Our goal needs to be to get them to Jesus. I mean, if our goal is to get them to Jesus, and they meet Jesus, and they surrender their life to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes inside of them, and then you know what happens? They're a living stone being built together into a spiritual house. What do they become? The church. Okay, so they become the church. They fall in love with the church because the whole time they're going, man, I thought the church was that thing over there. It was what those people did, and they talked weird, and they talked in verses and did all that stuff. I thought that was the church. And then you go, no. The church is what lives inside of us, and we are the church. So, man, don't be so worried about your friends who don't like church or, you know, have this. They're rejecting something that, quite frankly, maybe a lot of us would reject. I might reject. Because what they're rejecting is not the gospel. What they're rejecting is not the real church lived out. They're rejecting an idea or a concept or an institution or a place. And what we need to do is we need to bring them Jesus. So for a minute, I want to take some time and I'm going to talk about the church. Okay? It'll be a little different for you, not your typical Sunday morning sermon with a lot of funny stories and things like that. We're going to break it down with a whiteboard and some markers, okay? Now, I'm going to confess to you that this diagram and some of what I'm going to go through here, I stole from a book called Saturate. The subtitle of the book is Making Disciples of Jesus in the Everyday Stuff of Life by a guy named Jeff Vanderstelt. And so I want to talk about what the church is and what it isn't, okay? So I'm going to confess right now my artistic skills are lacking, all right? So grace would be appreciated from all of you. All right, so I'm going to draw this thing here that we are going to, that's supposed to be kind of a building, all right? That's a steeple, all right? So here's this little door, all right? So here's this thing. Some people think the church is a place that you go to, right? So they think it's a place you go to. They identify church with a building, okay? Now, there's other people who think and define church by programs or things that happen inside this building. So I'm going to just draw these circles. And these would be programs, Bible studies, things like that. We come into this place, and we go to these things, and as we do that, then we would identify that as church, okay? So, kind of like as long as you're doing that, then you're a part of the church, and the goal is then to be part of the church, right? So then there's people, all right, inside here who, you know, are part of that, all right? That's kind of the goal, be, you know, part of the church. Now, for some, the goal is not just being a part of the church, but I want to be a leader of the church, because that's where it's really happening, right? So, I'm going to draw a little Pope hat on this guy. That's what that is, okay? So, you know, the real goal is to be a part of this and then maybe lead something, okay? Now, like I said earlier, then if you're being a good Christian, then you've got people in your life out here, okay, who you go to work with, hang out with, that kind of thing. And these people, you're told the goal is get them to go inside, right? Get them to come to church, get them to be a part. Oops, that's a terrible error. Okay. So, get them to come and be a part of the church. Now, when all this happens, if it's happening well, then pastors will get up and say, all right, now what you need to do is, as a good steward of your life, you need to give your time. This is like a clock here, okay? So give some of your time to the church. So you make time in your schedule to be around these events. Like, you know, if you're a good church person, then whenever the doors are open, you come here. So you give your time to the church. I did that green on purpose, all right? So you give your money, right? You're doing it right. You give your time. Give your money. This will be interesting, but... okay, so this... That's terrible, but that's a gift, okay? So that's like a present. So you give your gift and your talent. And you bring all these things inside what we call the church. Now, none of this is bad. It's only wrong if we see that as the end game. Okay? So, it's like come in and be a part of this and give your time, your talents, your finances. And if it's all structured and based on this, and it all stays inside of here, all those out there who Jesus died for and loves and wants them to be reconciled to Him, maybe they've seen versions of this that aren't very good. They've seen some that are really centered around this, and all they do is talk about money. They take people's time to the point where families fall apart. Man, you know, they want me to use my gifts, and again, it just takes so much time. Or the leaders or the popes are just kind of really weird and crazy and controlling. And so they look at all this stuff, and they go, you know what, I don't want any part of that. Well, if this is our model and it's all about this, how in the world do we reach those people out there to come in here? Again, we have to realize that's not the goal. The goal is to bring Jesus to them. All right? So, it's clearly taught throughout Scripture, some of what we read earlier, what we're going to read in just a moment, that our lives are to be lived to the glory of God, and that doesn't take place behind four walls of a building once or twice a week. Okay? So there's this point in Jesus' life where he's about to go to the Father. He knows he's going to die. And so he prays to the Father. Okay? Now I want to read this prayer to you. It's a portion of it. John 17, verses 13 and 19. So come on the screen. Jesus speaking. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Verse 15. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. All right, so listen to Jesus' prayer for the disciples and anybody who would follow after. That's all of us, okay? Here's his prayer for us. I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but keep them safe. Okay, in other words, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. But we're supposed to be out there. That's where we're supposed to live and live differently. So we can't hide behind those four walls. There's another occasion where Jesus goes, you don't take a light and put it under a basket. You put it on a hill so that it'll shine. So if darkness is out there, and our way of dispelling darkness is to take these bright lights and shine them out of the windows. Let's say it's 10 o'clock at night, we're here at a meeting, and it's dark out there, and you take light and you shine it out of this window. How far is that going to go? How much of an impact is that going to have? But if I give every one of you a light and say, now go out there, what happens? Everything around us is going to light up, right? And that's the whole idea, you know. As we go with the Spirit of God in us as a church, it brings light to every place. The darkest corners of the world. Might be where you work, right? Might be where you live, I don't know. But I mean, those darkest places light up because you're there. Because I'm there. Because Jesus is there. And just hanging out in here. So we got to get over just hanging out in here, and we got to be willing to go out there. He's called us to be a light to the world. So, rather than asking for us to be taken out of the world, Jesus says, Father, just as you sent me into the world, so I'm sending them. Okay? So this is Jesus' prayer. He says, now, just as you sent me, I'm sending them out into the world. We come here, we gather, we're encouraged, we're strengthened by one another. Okay? God does something in us, hopefully, in those moments where there's deep joy and worship and shout to God and all of that stuff. But we come out of here then, hopefully, strengthened and encouraged. All right? The people of God. And we go to live on mission. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we're called to do. It's who we're called to be. All right? So you're out there. Problem is, the world can be a scary place, right? I mean, watch the news, read the internet. There's all kinds of craziness out there. And we go, man, I just feel so much better in here, Vic. I mean, it's safer. I can hang out with people. My kids can go over to friends' houses, and their friends' parents only cuss a little bit, not like the kids out there. Okay? Anyhow. But you know what I mean? It's like this protective bubble. And there's something that's good and nice about that. But there's something that, I think, breaks the heart of God. Because of all these people out there. So here's what, this is really cool, okay? So what does Jesus say? He says, I'm not praying for you to take them out of the world. I'm not praying for this extraction. It's not what he's asking the Father. He says, I want you to send them. And then he says this. I want you to protect them. I want you to keep them safe. I want you to set them apart. Now that guy's going. I want you to set them apart as they go and they live this out in dark places, in tough places. Set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. He says, make them holy by your truth. The word holy means set apart. That's what it means. So he doesn't pray for God to take us out of the world. He prays to the Father to send us into the world and to protect us. So here's the deal. Do you believe that God is big enough to protect you while you're out there in the world? Now, you got to make wise choices. It's not wise for some people to go, you know, if you have history of being an alcoholic or something like that, it's probably not wise for you to make it your ministry to go to bars and hang out with people. But for those of you who sit in that seat, I'm one of those people, it's also not wise for you to judge someone else who may have a right heart before God. They go into places like that because they believe when they go there, God goes there. Now that's important. That's kind of scary. Listen, don't judge by external appearance. Look at the heart. And you go, I don't really know what they're really doing. Get to know that person then. Know their heart, you know. But I'm just saying that the deepest, darkest places in our culture need the gospel and they need Jesus, and you and I have that. And we have something to offer them. We have something to give. All right, so God says, Jesus has set them apart, keep them holy as they live this out. So it's not about extraction from the world. It's about living in the world, but not being of the world. Let's go back to Romans 12 real quick. It'll come back on the screen. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. But don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Don't get so comfortable out there that you fit in without even thinking. Don't get sucked into their mold, okay? Other versions say don't get conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, okay? Don't fit in just without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And as you're changed from the inside out, people around you will be changed from the inside out. Because it's not you that changes them, it's God. And so I want to relieve you of the burden of feeling like you need to get your friends and family, quote-unquote, into church. But I want you to carry the weight of the responsibility as a member of the church, a believer in Jesus, part of the body of Christ, one in whom the Spirit of God lives. I want you to feel the weight of that. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to church, when you go to work, when you go to school, you bring the presence of Jesus with you. And the way that you act and react is an offering to God. It's an act of worship. And so we need to think about that. Will we fail? Absolutely. What do we do when we fail? We repent. We turn back to God. We tell people we're sorry. We let them know that we're not perfect and that Jesus still loves us. That is great authentic testimony to people. Don't act like you got it all together because you don't. And neither do I, right? So you don't have to act that way. But to the best of our ability with the power of the Spirit, we live this out. We don't hide behind the four walls of the church. So So what does this look like in real life? I want to ask a family, a couple from Emmaus to come on up. Lou and Chanel, you guys come up. Yeah. Ask the Pontigos to come on up. And this is Lou and Chanel Pontigo. I'm going to have you hold that for a moment.
Quick disclaimer, we don't have it all together.
Neither do I. All right. So how long have you guys been Christians?
Since college. I mean, it's a little complicated, but for the day, around college.
Both of you? Okay. And how long have you been coming to Emmaus last year?
For about a year. Second week of January of last year.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding that prior to coming here, you guys had a little time off or away from what we would consider a church community. You didn't necessarily come on Sunday mornings to a place. I don't know. Tell us a little bit about that. Go ahead.
So, we were at a church for 13 years, and when you leave the church that you've been at for 13 years, it's kind of hard to just, you know, jump into another place. And we certainly didn't want to start church shopping, because I think there's a lot wrong with church shopping. So we just stayed home on Sundays. And the first Sunday was really weird. We used to go into church on Sundays. So what we did was we spent 3 months away, and a couple of times we'd go to some of the church plants that were associated with our previous church to encourage those congregations. And then we'd meet with some other families that that we knew for a long time regularly, like midweek, and pray together. We went through the book of Philippians during that time too, and then at some point we came here.
All right, so you were continuing to grow your relationship with God. It was just kind of outside the context of something like this regularly on a Sunday morning. How did that time impact your sphere of relationships just in life?
So around the same time that we left our church for 13 years, I started playing tennis again. I hadn't played for about 8 years because I had an injury. And so I started going to tennis and met this group of ladies, and they were really welcoming and inclusive. And so I was like, oh, these ladies are nice. And so I started playing tennis again. And so just by going out and doing that, my sphere of relationships grew, because now there's all these ladies. There's their husbands, a lot of them have children, and so my children ended up hanging out with their kids, and the husbands hung out together, and eventually they even started playing tennis together, and then our daughter Leah, she started babysitting, so the whole family was involved, and the whole family, their spheres of relationships grew just by me going to decide to play.
Okay, so what did you guys learn about people in those relationships, people outside of what we consider the church, and, you know, maybe learn about yourselves, just any insight in that time of building relationships with some of the people who were, it sounds like, from what we talked about, were kind of totally unsure.
So I think during that time, we finally got to actually see functionally what it was to be the church, not just go to a church, because we were sort of forced into it at some point. Who we are. So I think during that time too, we probably started to see a more healthy balance of, you know, cultivating deep Christian relationships with people that we've known for a long time, and the benefit of that and the mandate of that, and then also just being okay having friendships outside of the church. I mean, I think sometimes when you're in a church for so long, you hang out with the same people, it just sort of happens. And I think for us, I mean, we're thankful that it happened in the way that it did, because we were forced onto a community of people that we probably wouldn't have otherwise gotten together with.
So you guys, even though you weren't necessarily coming to a place like this on Sunday morning, but you said still growing in your relationship with God, you still had tight relationships with some people who were, you know, centered around really Scripture and growing, and then you were out there living it out. Now, recently, you started a Bible study with some of those ladies. How did that come about? I mean, how do you take a step from, you know, spending time, living life with those people, you know, just relationally, really getting to know him, and then that step of kind of like introducing spiritual matters. Just tell us a little bit about that.
So, I think I was more of an obstacle in inviting these ladies than I probably, you know, should have been. I thought, oh, I'd really like to do this. It'd be great. And, you know, do you think they would come to a Bible study? I don't know. So I think that fear of rejection kept me from asking them sooner than I did. But I think, you know, everything's in God's timing. And so I've been friends with these ladies for about a year and a half. And so I didn't just, you know, meet them and say, hey, let's go to Bible study. I don't think that would have gone over very well. But investing that time and spending time with them. And I went on a cruise with them for one of their, one of them had their 50th birthday. So I went on the Carnival Fascination, which is another whole story.
See the little circle around the people there? God protects you when you go, okay.
Definitely. I just finally prayed for boldness, and a bunch of us were playing tennis one day, and then I just blurted out, oh, I'm going to have a Bible study at my house. What day should we do it, Monday or Tuesday? And they were like, Monday's better. Okay. So, like, you know, we'll have, like, brunch thing, and then we'll do Bible study. And so 15 ladies ended up signing up to come to the house and do Bible study.
Now, I would guess that they have some idea that you guys, you know, that you guys are followers of Jesus, or they're, you know, just in hanging out with people for a year and a half. It's not like, you know, it's just totally unexpected, but, you know, it's still a big step.
Well, I wanted to hit on something that I wanted to mention before. I think one of the things that, too, another quick story, last Good Friday, we didn't come to church on a Good Friday. First time in, like, forever.
Can't come to church.
Or whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm just kidding.
So instead, we played tennis and had dinner with six or seven other couples. And it was something that was really strange for us. And yet, during that time, you know, conversations ended up steering themselves toward spiritual things. We were able to be there and speak into those things. So these are things that I think God just puts together. But, we would have, you know, had we had that sort of really tunnel vision view of who we are as the church and really an internal focused people, we would never have done something as crazy as not coming to a church on Good Friday. So, and then the year and a half, I mean, it takes a while. I mean, relationship building, building relational capital with people. I mean, we genuinely like these people. They aren't projects for us. But over time, they get to know you and realize, hey, these are genuine people that, you know, that love us. And I think that opens doors, and I think allows them to say, hey, you know, maybe I wouldn't do a Bible study, but Chanel's inviting me, so I'm going to go because Chanel's inviting me.
Right. So I think that's important. You know, we're not talking about making people projects. I mean, what Paul talks about in Romans 12, it's like take your everyday life and make it an offering to God, and there's people around you. There's people who do things that you like to do that you can share Jesus with in the midst of that, and it's building real relationships. I mean, a year and a half is a long time. It really is. You know, but that's, you got to trust the Spirit of God to work in there, and we're not saying, hey, 12 ladies in Bible study, they're all followers of Jesus, and they're all here in the audience today.
Come on.
You know, and that's not the goal. The goal is to get them to Jesus and share Jesus' love with them and allow the Spirit to work in their hearts. It's just interesting. So you guys made a decision to not come to a church gathering on a Good Friday and stayed and did something with them. And we all need to know that that's okay. I'm not saying, hey, just, you know, it's fun to hang out and play golf next Sunday. That's cool. It's about being intentional. It's about, you know, where your heart's at. You know, being, you know, what we talked about from that passage. So that's good. That's encouraging. I don't know, anything that you'd like to just kind of encourage us with, or anything that you learned from, you know, the time meeting with, meeting with those ladies or those guys, about living in the world but not being of the world, challenges there, just any kind of closing thoughts.
When you do this, you're going to bump into people that are going to have behavior that's not what you're used to. And I think just being aware of that and not being freaked out when somebody doesn't act like a Christian is probably the big thing to keep in mind. And I think, you know, you mentioned being mindful. And that's what it is. It's looking at these people as broken images of the Creator, just like you were. You look for God to do that work in them, too. So I think really going in with eyes wide open about who these people are and that God has a mission for you, it really helps you to be there with them. And, you know, again, I encourage you. I mean, they're not going to act like you expect them to act. They're going to do foolish things. But trust the Holy Spirit to guide you, because the Holy Spirit's in us, and that's the thing that's going to set you apart. He'll look different, and they'll know.
Actually, I like what you did here. I know you were doing this, so it'll work out. But what was this one here? Okay, go on, Rick.
It's a bad clock. I'm sorry.
So you have to tithe in the money and the gifts here in the church. And I think what you have to do is also think about giving your time and your money and your gifts when you are investing in these people. You know, like last night there was, you know, an email sent out, hey, you want to go to the Mexican restaurant last night? And it was late, and we're like, okay, we'll go. And Antonio and Louie and I went, and we hung out with them at the Mexican restaurant for, you know, an hour. But they really appreciated that time that we invested in them. And then money, you know, costs money to go to the Mexican restaurant. But that's okay. Or if, you know, you're bringing them a meal or something that you prepared for somebody sick or hurt. That happened a lot in this year and a half of taking meals over, just showing them you love them. This week I took some brownies over to a guy who got bit by a spider. And he was so appreciative, and his family was really appreciative too. Just brownies, it was a big deal. And then your gifts, you know, I think Louie and I, we are social people. As you know, a lot of you know us, we're outgoing, and so I think that you have to use those gifts that you have in order to be winsome.
Oh, my word.
So, you also preach the last part of my message, but that's all right, because it's time to go anyhow. It's awesome. No, that's great. That was great.
No, good. Praise the Lord. We're going over 1 Peter in our community group on Wednesday night. And this week we talked about what does it look like to be exiled in a foreign land, that your citizenship is from somewhere else. And Ron, remember the word? Winsome. We just, you know, we want to be attractive. You know, it doesn't mean that you conform to that world, but, you know, you should be distinctive. And certainly God, I mean, Jesus was attractive to, you know, sinners and tax collectors. They were okay being in his presence. There was something attractive about him. So just encourage you to be winsome.
That's awesome. And so Lou and Keith Jackson, they lead a community group / home church group. They meet on Wednesdays, and we do the Wednesday night life, and then you guys meet one other time.
Yeah, second and fourth we meet here, and then the third we try to have dinner.
And it's an opportunity. There's going to be more of those kind of things bringing up. But again, those are those gatherings of the church that can be outside this building and are out there. And again, those are things that encourage us to go and do what they're talking about doing as you live life on mission for Jesus. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Folks, it's really not that difficult. Might sound a little scary to you, but you need to know, okay, that it is okay for you to use your time, gifts, resources outside of here. And we, as a church community, should be using what comes in here like that, out there, and empowering you to go and do that. Because many of those people out there, they don't have a lot of interest in this thing that people call the church. Jesus is attractive. When you read the scriptures, Jesus was attractive and compelling to the people on the outside. You know, that's interesting, because the religious people, not so much. They killed him, right? So I just, let me say this to you. You may get crucified, so to speak, out here, all right? By people who say they're doing it in the name of Jesus. Like, you shouldn't be. So now, you went on a carnival cruise with these ladies. You know what happens. I know what happens on a carnival cruise. You know? And they frown upon that. And you go, well, I'm going, and Jesus is going with me, and the Spirit lives inside of me. Can you just trust Jesus a little bit and trust me? You know, just understand as you go, those kind of things may happen. But what we're talking about is a lot bigger than people's opinions and thoughts. And Jesus prayed that the Father would send us out into the world to go to be salt and light to people in need, and these people are all around us. So we're gonna be doing some things, you know, hopefully seeing more of the like home group or house church gatherings or home community group gatherings, whatever you want to call them. So they met in the temple courts and they met from house to house, and we want to do that. And those are things we want to help encourage you to go and do what we're talking about. Because just understand, a home group here at Emmaus is not necessarily doing what we're talking about. It's another opportunity to be strengthened in those kind of groups. We pray for those people who God's put around us. You all know people. We all know people who don't know Jesus and need Jesus. So we pray for those people. We talk about what's going on in life. We grow, we're challenged, and then we go and do this stuff. And God's given all of us an opportunity in the everyday stuff of life to glorify Him, to share His love with people. And as we go as the church, and we are the church. And praise God when those people give their lives to Jesus and they surrender to Him and they realize what they've been missing all along. It's not found here. It's found in the cross. It's found in the gospel. And they're forgiven and loved. And when they go and share that with other people. Amen. Let's stand together. I'll close this with a word of prayer this morning. Father, forgive us for, first of all, just a misunderstanding at times of what the church is and what our role is. Forgive us for the times where we've just bought into this idea that it's all about an institution or a place we come. And God, in doing that, we've sold ourselves short and you short in that believing that we're created by you and are created for you, and there's things that you want us to do just with our everyday life and sharing your love with people around us, and we've left it for professionals to do. We've left it just invite someone to a place and it's going to happen and they're going to get Jesus, and all along you're going, just go and share it with them. You don't need to know all the theology. You don't need to be able to quote all the chapters and verses. You just need to tell your story. God, thank you. For those of us who know you, we thank you that we have a story. And there's people all around us who their story is yet to be fully written, and they're seeking. And God, just help us to share our story, to share our lives, to open our sphere of influence up, our lives up enough where it would include those people. And as they're broken and in those moments where we can be a blessing, whether it's bringing them a meal or just sharing your love with them or walking through the garbage of life with them, God, they see you in the midst of it because you're with us. We thank you for it. I pray that as we walk out these doors today, God, that we'd be mindful of this, that your blessing would be on each one as we leave this place. And God, we would see how important it is for us to live this out, to be salt and light to a hungry and desperate dark world. May it all be for your glory. As you build your church, just as you promised, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If any of you need prayer at all for anything, we'll be up here. We'd love to pray with you. If you have any questions about anything, come and talk to us. And God bless you. Peace be with you. We'll see you soon.